something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's a brand new game, Canadian Tire Flyer, lower or higher.
We go through 1969 and play some great jams from that era.
And Gord pitches Bernie on some more cover jams for his upcoming never-ending album. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
69 bad.
Numéro 69 bad. What's bad 60. In French? Badism.
Badism is this in French.
69 jam?
69 jam. When Burton's voice was all sweet.
He can sing is the thing.
I know, he still can sing.
But... I'd wear t-shirts with my own picture on it if I could sing like that.
Well, because he crushed so many darts and drinks, it's kind of worn it down a little bit, right. But he still can get her up there. Especially
do you think
when
he's on the darts?
Well, all those interviews, he's always crushing darts.
On the darts would be a good game.
On the darts.
Like former Governor General Adrienne Clarkson. Do you think she's on the darts?
We should do that as a game one day. On the darts or not.
How would we find out?
Mike Duffy. On the darts or
I'd
not?
Say Duffy's on the darts.
You think so?
I think he sneaks a couple Export A greens on a Friday night. Don't you think?
We have to play that game.
Duffy on the darts. I mean, Duffy and the darts is a great name for a band.
Seems he takes advantage of all things that are pleasurable in life.
I think so. I think he goes to the keg and crushes some Billy Minor pie.
Gets a baseball steak.
Yeah, a baseball steak and a full salad bar and then Billy Minor pie. And I think he steps outside after the Billy Minor pie and before the Louis XIV cognac arrives to crush a couple quick ones.
Well, remember back in the day when everyone would just hack darts on TV like Renny Levesque styles?
It was a different time.
How about this one? You got this coffee mug. Andy Kim. Baby, I love you.
Good jam.
This was a big hit. It is Andy Kim that gave you the mug, right?
Yeah. No, he left it behind, and I took it. And then he circled the wagons back looking for it, and I had to come clean. I used it as my renovation mug. It had paint all over it, and I had to send it back because I got a call from CBC Security in Toronto saying Andy Kim's here looking for his mug.
You could have said, I don't know where it is, and kept it.
I know, but that would have been A, lying, and B, not nearly as good a story.
No, I know. And it was almost like you got to keep in touch with him after the fact because of the mug.
Well, that was the only time we've been in touch. But I really did enjoy interviewing him on Q, and I really liked him as a dude a lot.
He does that great benefit every year at the Phoenix here in Toronto. Still continues, a Christmas benefit.
Nice.
Gotta like Andy Kim. He
also, wasn't he like 17 when he wrote Sugar Sugar?
I think so, yeah.
Like he was a kid success story. Yeah. It's wild.
He was just a young buck.
69, man.
Here's a classic 69 jam throughout history, the time of the season by the Zombies. That was a cultural impact maker.
Wow. I couldn't have told you the name of this band, but I certainly know the track.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely one of those bands.
Were they Canadian?
No. I wish. Wouldn't that be cool? I believe it was recorded at Abbey Road. So they're, Rod Argent. This is like the ultimate, damn hippies! These damn hippies!
Get a haircut. You see what the sign says. Long-haired freaky people need not apply.
Or
I love me some harmony. That's a great harmony song.
Marvin Gaye getting things going. Heard it through the grapevine. That's another classic 69 jam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the first thing I think of is the California Raisins.
I know.
They ruined it. It's ruined.
At least they used the real version, though.
Yeah, they did. And those little masks could dance.
Remember how big they were? That was insane, a commercial just blowing up. They had like... It got to the point where they had a cartoon on Saturday morning.
Yeah. They were the Geico cavemen of the 80s.
Yeah, they used to sing jams. Remember, they would like bust down into like R&B classics.
And Snap, Crackle, and Pop were looking at their California Raisins like, I mean, they're okay. Super jealous.
We can't dance like that.
The Keebler Elves were like, damn.
Yeah.
Remember them
masks?
Make
it all go around.
Who lived in the tree?
Yep. That was more of an American jams.
Someone should do a Battle of the Network Stars from the 80s with like the Keebler Elves pitted against the California Raisins.
Yeah, for sure. And there's just mad wrestling. This was a classic jam. Creedence?
Yeah, sure.
Creedence were massive. What's that?
Such feel.
Oh, yeah. But they're one of those bands that had like Bob Marley or something where you look at their greatest hits and it's like one after the other. There's like 15, 16, 17. Yeah. And you know every single one. And they had some good fights too with Fogerty.
Did they?
Yeah, Fogerty like hated everybody and then had that huge blow up and they blew up and then he left. And remember, he actually got sued by his own record label for sounding too much like himself.
No.
Yeah, and he lost.
That's always such a weird critique. Like Wes Anderson, after Rushmore, every movie since, he's been accused of just doing Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. Like, well, yeah, that's his thing, man.
Yeah.
Fogerty singing like Fogerty is just doing his thing.
How about this one, that seventh inning classic? Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. What a big smash this was. If you haven't been banged up and sang this in karaoke, I don't know who you are, eh?
I haven't.
You haven't?
But I've certainly been one of the bop-bop-bars.
Bop-bop-bars?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the bop-bop-bar.
Did that start
at the ball games?
You need two kinds of people in this world, man. The ones that are going to sing it banged up at karaoke, and then you need the people that are going to go bop, bop, bop. Yeah.
And then there are those who do both.
Duggada, diggada, duggada, duggada.
One of the bigger pre-choruses of all time.
Are you on the Neil Diamond train or no?
I like him for his history, the fact that he started in the Brill Building and was a great songwriter and knew what he was doing and was kind of meticulous about that, but I'm not crazy about this stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not, but I know he's good, you know what I mean?
Out of respect for you, I didn't sing the ba-ba-ba's, but I said yeah.
Thank you.
Because I couldn't let it go by ignored.
And this is Member Sly and the Family Stone made it into the 68s, but this is Everyday People from 69.
Good.
This is one of my favorite songs that they had. Talk about classic bands that just were unstoppable live. This is one of the better performances at Woodstock, too.
Really?
Which happened in 69. One of the highlights.
I get it, but it's one of those songs that, like, jam bands play.
Yeah.
I feel like not much happens musically. I don't really... It's kind of nursery rhyme-ish.
In this song?
Yeah.
Just comes by, like, so easy. You don't even notice. It's like molasses. Just running slow.
I get it. It was a big song, that's for sure.
It's just so funny, like, anybody in the band starts singing and they all have, like, these insane voices.
Like Harry Chapin.
So, yeah, there's our little wrap-up of our 69 jam spot.
It's like Harry Chapin in Mr. Tanner when his bass player John starts singing the Christmas Carol part.
Whoa.
Anybody?
Harry Chapin.
I feel like we should talk about Prince for a minute, even though by the time this comes out, it'll have been a while. But you... certainly feel he was a genius.
Absolutely. Just the width of his kind of impact, his insanity. He not only was he just a great singer, songwriter, he was just a brilliant guitar player. He was an amazing producer. He just could do everything better than anybody. I mean, stories like Jeff Beck, who, you know, was known to be kind of a tyrant and a tough guy. At one point, he threw a guitar at the studio window when George Martin was trying to get him to do something. Imagine. You think George Martin, you're not going to do something like that. But yet, when he met Prince, he was like, acted like a little kid and just wanted him to play his guitar. Just blew him away. Same thing, Eric Clapton. I think someone asked Eric Clapton, who's the best guitar player in the world, and he said, ask Prince or something like that.
Wow.
He would know more about that than I would. And even David Gilmour he threw Purple Rain into his Comfortably Numb set.
Saw that.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, there's not really a guitar player, a great guitar player, that hasn't kind of tipped their hat to him as a brilliant musician. Not just guitar. I mean, I've seen stuff since in the last week of him on piano where he's just killing it.
Killing it.
Drums, you know, he could play apparently like 20 instruments or something like that, but all meticulously in a masterful level. So there's something to be said for that, because there's not too many people I can think of that could do that, you know, like just kill it on all these instruments to the point where your hair is blowing back.
I was reading an essay this morning written by the showrunner on the sitcom New Girl.
On that show, right?
Yeah, he was on it, and they re-aired the episode last night. She was talking about just the experience of him contacting them to say, would you be interested in having Prince on in a cameo role, because he really liked the show, apparently. And yeah. She was just talking about his artistry and the back and forthery of what worked best as a joke and what worked best as a storyline, and he was right on every point.
Yeah, apparently that's the other thing. He was hilarious. Like,
yeah.
Dave Chappelle was really great friends with him, and he loved it when Dave Chappelle did the Prince, you know, the blouses versus shirts.
Yeah.
Like, he thought that was hilarious. And there's some truth to that story. I think it was Charlie Murphy, actually, was that story is told by Charlie Murphy, where they went to his house and he, like, played basketball at his house and killed everybody at basketball and then like made pancakes afterwards.
So that's true?
Yeah, yeah. That's all based on a true story. He could ball. He was hilarious.
Too. I was telling you the other day, friends of mine were doing a location scout in Toronto for a place to shoot part of a movie, and his place on the bridle path was actually empty, and they were using it as a movie location at the time, and he left, in addition to a bunch of purple peas hanging around the place, he left one of his pianos, and a bot of mine got to sit down and play Prince's piano in that big empty house.
Unbelievable.
What an experience that is, and he captured it on video, and pretty cool.
Yeah, and you think Tupac has some records after he died. I mean, Prince always cataloged, you know, millions and millions of miles of tape and recorded all the time. I remember Sylvia Massey, one of his engineers back in the day, told the story that she would have to work shifts, like 8 to 10 hour shifts, where they'd go in and then another engineer would come in after them.
Wow.
And Prince would be there just like constantly working on new stuff and different genres of music. And he's probably got, I can't even imagine, just he could probably put records out for the next 100 years, the amount of material that he wrote and recorded. It's just incredible. Apparently there's an issue now where he didn't have a will,
right?
So there's like a frenzy now with his family, so hopefully that doesn't screw everything up, because you'd think he would have the foresight to kind of had that control, the fact that after he dies, at how all that music is going to be treated. You know what I mean? If it's somebody else, it's
he
all
was that organized.
Out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If he didn't have a will, then that stuff's just going to be zipping out. Like, I mean, you've seen how Hendrix's stuff, anything, like he record a demo and it comes out as an album.
Right.
Because his family was just selling off everything that he had. So you can imagine that's probably going to happen. And
I liked hearing that members of his staff were walking around Minneapolis at the dance party handing out pieces of personal memorabilia. Like he was very much of and for the people, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, and he was kind of like an anonymous philanthropist, too. I mean, he would help people out all the time. Apparently, that last tour that he did, he was paying for people's, like, people that he heard about. He would help them with their house or buy them things to keep them afloat. I know Clyde Stubblefield, one of those famous funk drummers in the past, he gave him, like, $80,000.
Wow.
You know, to kind of help him out, and he was always doing that. Apparently, that's why he didn't have a lot of liquid cash, because he was just constantly helping people. So
what a bod.
Yeah.
You know, this might be a controversial statement, but when you think about Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston and Prince, some of the Bowie, do you want to see them as 80-year-olds, or do you kind of want to imagine them at their peak rock and roll stature? It's hard to imagine Prince as an old man, as weird as that may sound.
Well, I don't think he would ever look old. That's the thing. I mean, he just seems like he was looking the same no matter what.
Right.
I don't think he would age like your typical person anyway. But he, I mean, I think aesthetically in the physical sense, people kind of think that's more sexy or whatever. But I to be young forever, there's an appeal to that. But obviously, it's a bummer that he died, and the fact that apparently he might have had a ridiculous pill addiction with opiates or heavy duty. I think he was on like Dilaudid and those patches or something.
Right.
Heard a story where his alleged dealer, we'd buy like $40,000 in pills and stuff, and the reason why he may have died was when he had that incident where the plane landed.
Yeah.
They might have given him a save shot, which kind of clears your body of drugs and all of that stuff. So when he started taking more painkillers because he had that hip issue, apparently he started taking Percocet too a lot, like heavy doses, and apparently Tylenol, if you take too much Tylenol, it kills you.
Wow.
So that's one of the theories based on what might have happened to him. He just kind of got cleared his system and then started taking everything again, and it was just too much for him.
So is that credible inside info, or is that
it's
merely
slightly,
speculation?
Yeah, I mean, they'll find out in the toxicology reports, but that's just one of the stories that's floating around. It's just interesting that how he just died all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that theory that he might have had an addiction to painkillers and then being completely cleared of it and then getting back on it, that kind of happens. A lot of people OD that way. That's when a lot of people that do drugs, they'll get clean and then they'll do a bunch of cocaine or heroin and that'll take them out.
So for the layperson, what is a clean or clear shot? What is that?
A save shot. I think it's like a shot that they give you if you're overdosing to
bring you back.
Yeah, it basically kills the all the opiates in your system to give you a chance.
But presumably it's a last resort kind of thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what, like, if you see a guy shaking on a table, that's when they do that. Cuz it's they're on the threshold of going lights out.
Should also be noted that another of the things he did, in addition to writing unbelievable songs for a myriad of artists, he was also really on the forefront of gender equality.
Absolutely.
As far as musicians go, right? He had an all-female band. Like, you have to remember, this was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, what he does by today's standards might not seem racy, but at the time it was like, what?
Yeah, and I mean, he combed the kind of around to find the best female musicians that were out there, and people like Sheila E. And the band that he had back then was just as good as any band around. And
Apollonia.
I think that kind of, imagine what that did for female musicians. You know, I mean, even to the last band that he had were all female musicians. The guitar player, I think her name was Donna. She was in his band. She's fantastic.
She's from Toronto, right?
Yeah. And they're just, he just kind of had that, everybody knew that he had killer musicians, but the fact that he kind of changed the game in that sense too is incredible. It's not just fashion, his impact, it's, like you said, equality.
Cultural and lasting.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that Prince is gone, yet Prince Philip is still here. Go fig, Newton.
How's that working?
Let's take a break on TNT, and we'll be right back with a brand new game called Canadian Tire Flyer, Lower or Higher. Don't go away. 69 is just getting rolling, bot.
Cocktail, please.
Come back, will you?
And we're back.
Brand new game.
Let's play this game.
Canadian Tire Flyer, Lower or Higher. I told you what I did. I was at the airport in Toronto last week, and I got a little bag. I bought to myself some salt and vinnies for the plane and had two little coloring books for the girls. For some the girls.
Cheap salt and vinegars?
Oh, no. I went big. I got the Lay's.
Oh, fancy.
From the Relay store. And I thought, you know what I should do? I have my carry-on duffel bag. I'm going to put my earphones in this plastic bag. And so I'll have everything that I need. Put my truck keys in the plastic bag so that I have everything that I need for when I get off the plane. Like, I can stash my carry-on and I'll have this little plastic bag.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well,
so organized.
The earphones I might as well just tuck in my shirt pocket. And the coloring books, I'm not going to need them tonight, so I might as well put them in my duffel bag.
Yeah.
And all that to say, I realized about 5 minutes before I landed in Halifax that I must have thrown my truck keys in the garbage in Toronto. At the airport at Pearson, and my truck was parked in Halifax.
That's the worst.
Well, it was the middle of the night. What I should have done was stayed at the airport hotel for less than the cab cost me and had Carol asked her to drive up the next morning with the extra set of keys. But what I did do, which in hindsight wasn't the best move, was took a cab home and then woke up the entire house and then still had to make a trip back. So it was $126 plus tip to get home.
And then you had to go back.
But the cab driver said, for $200, I'll run you back.
This is so greasy.
It's kind of greasy because he's going anyway. That's not really being a bud.
No.
He bruised me a bit on that.
Yeah, for so that is.
Especially because, like, you know, I could use the company. It's late at night. Why don't you grab your keys? I'll run you back. I was too tired anyway to go back that night, but there you go. Don't throw your keys in the garbage. But I blame it on, I used a duffel bag instead of my usual four banger, like with four wheels that just rolls, but it's a carry-on. And that has a front outside pocket. In. So I would have put stuff in there.
Damn.
Creature of habit, bud.
That's sad.
Canadian Tire Flyer, Lower or Higher. It's almost game. It's like a Price is Right kind of game. Because the way it works is I will give you an item, a description, and a price.
Yep.
The price isn't right. It's a price I'm making up.
Okay.
And you have to decide if the real price is lower or higher. Now, we're using, obviously the things in the flyer are being advertised because they're on sale. We are not using the sale price. We're using the regular price.
So the suggested retail price.
Yes. So you ready?
I have to say it's higher, or the sale price is higher or lower?
No, you have to say the actual price that they normally charge is lower or higher.
Okay.
Canadian Tire Flyer, Lower or Higher. Here comes your first product.
Okay.
A Simons electric pressure washer, 1.4 GPM, 3 project tips, onboard detergent tank.
Ooh.
I'm going to say, it's 1900 PSI, so she'll give her, $249.99. Simons pressure washer, $249.99. Is the regular price lower or higher?
I could use one of those for the fresh deck in the back.
For the bird poo?
Just the winterized, you know, the green.
And
I have the Trex stuff, you know, like it's not wood, but it's like lasts forever. Good old Paula France put the deck on.
Yeah,
the back.
On your fix my deck or.
Yeah,
the look disaster, at my deck, disaster whatever that show's decks. Called.
Yes, yes. And Paul's a bod, but it. Like there's some areas where there's some green from the leaves and stuff.
Some mange.
So I could use that pressure washer.
$249.99, lower or higher?
I'm gonna say it is lower.
Incorrect. It's normally $299.99.
Really?
Yep.
They sell it higher.
Yeah, they sell it higher, but it's on for $199.99 this week, so it's a good week to get one if you
need it. Oh, it is on right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hey, Lise! Pressure washer, $199 this week at Canadian Tire.
Hey, Ma!
Let's get in there. Hey, Ma!
All right, you ready? Yeah. A Yardworks 18-inch hedge trimmer. It has a lightweight design. $99.99.
Ooh, that's a pretty good price. I think I'm gonna say they might even go lower than that.
Final answer: lower.
Lower.
Correct. It's $89.99.
That's right.
So that's you're one and one.
You gotta do a Joe Vanelli. Hey, Ma! Edge trimmer. I'm sick and tired of using those stupid scissors.
Oh, man. Right. When Whippersnippers came out, they changed the game. And I have a steel one. A steel one. I have a steel one. Okay. Steel. 9-piece wobble extension bar set. 9-piece wobble extension bar set. Comes with a lifetime warranty. 70% off this week. But is it regularly $29.99?
Is this the things that you hook on to the ratchet?
Yeah.
And it makes it longer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say higher, bud. Higher, final answer.
Yep, she's $39.99.
That's right.
2-1.
That deal was too sweet.
Canadian Tire Flyer, lower or higher? Here's your next item.
How do you say Gino yelling to the Ma, because they're always doing chores with these things?
Hey, Ma,
there's ratchets! So far away, I'm sick and tired, I gotta reach all the way in. Ma, they're on sale this week.
Ma, the whippersnipper's out of string. Remember when the whippersnipper sucks the string in?
Oh, yeah.
And you have to take the bottom off and pull out more string?
I'm sick and tired of this thing, it always whips out and I get my feet, I'll break my new boots. My new boots got strings all over them.
All right, here
you go.
He's
wrecking his boots.
It's a Yardworks 17-inch curved shaft gas trimmer. It is a whippersnipper, but it's a Yardworks.
Yeah.
Regularly priced $199.99. Lower or higher?
$199.99. You ever see the guys who cut their grass with that thing?
Yeah. Like city just dudes. So and like, am I going to buy a mower? No.
Yeah.
For 20 square feet? No.
I'd rather take an hour and a half in there, and then they make it all like a golf course green on the backyard. It's all super short.
With some bald spots.
Yes, for sure. I'm going to say higher.
It's lower. It's $189.99.
God damn.
Mine, this steel one that I have is like taking an Uzi to a kitten fight, and I can barely keep this thing between the ditches. Like, she wants to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you ever whipped yourself?
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, you don't do it with shorts on. That's one thing.
But you realize, like, when they say you should wear protective eyewear, they're not joking. You should.
Pineapple. Pineapple, bod.
What does that mean?
Dolphins and pineapples, bods.
Oh, really? That's Jeremy's code word for when I'm holding my hand over the voice speaker. And you snuck it in seamlessly.
Thanks.
This is a Yardworks hatchet.
Hey, you could see Joe or Gino like doing the whippersnipper in the backyard with bare feet and shorts on.
Yeah.
And no shirt.
Dolphin shorts, those blue and white striped ones with the little like cutouts on the side.
Yeah, and he yells because he shaves one of his feet almost because his feet are like hairy, like Bilbo Baggins.
A Yardworks hatchet. Is it
a real one?
Yeah. Is it regularly 20? Oh, I can't say that because there's a range. I'm gonna move on to another product.
All right.
There's a range.
Moving on from the hatchets. All right.
Select wheelbarrows. There are different prices for that one. Oh, here's a good one. No, there's a range for that too. Yardworks all weather 50-foot polyurethane hose.
Ooh. This is my ballpark.
Remains extremely flexible even in cold temperatures. 400 PSI, 50-foot polyurethane hose, is it $74.99?
That's a good length.
Good one, right?
That's solid. I could use that in the backyard.
I broke down and got a Hundy last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of yard to deal with. See, I got a long, skinny yard.
Yeah.
You have a big, huge, wide yard.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's lower.
You're right. $69.99.
Nice. I thought that was a little tipsy, a little high.
Scott's Turf Builder Max covers 350.
Ooh, Scott's, that's the one with the... that's the one with the redheaded guy that looks like the guy on the Flyers.
I don't
Scott
know.
Hartnell.
Because
Scott Hartnell, that one. See that? See that?
Heartsy down? Do it.
Yeah, if you look at the commercial, the redheaded guy looks exactly like Scott Hartnell from the Flyers. And that's what he does in the summer. He does the... See that?
The Canadian Tire
with
Flyers.
The dog.
I yeah. auditioned for several Scott Turf Builder commercials, and
nice.
If you ever want to know how much you suck as an actor, I dare you in a room with hardwood floors to take a knee and feel grass that isn't there between your fingers and say,
oh.
Scott's Turf Builder, not half bad, or whatever the slogan was. You feel like a chump.
Yeah, that's like, that's heavy duty. That's big method acting right
Scott's
there.
Turf Builder. It's coming in nice.
It's coming in nice. I'm trying it right now. It's coming in nice. I just feel like I can't.
You want to scrape your tongue, right?
Yeah.
Scott's Turf Builder. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the funniest one was an audition for it was like the Chevy Cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
And the log line was like, go ahead, stare. Like for entry level, sub economy, sub compact. Like it has a fax machine engine in it. And you're coy because your friends are all jealous of your Chevy Cobalt. Scott's Turf Builder Green Max covers 350 meters. It's lawn fertilizer with weed prevent. $34.99 lower or higher?
I'm going to say lower.
It's $32.99. That is correct.
Nice.
You're really on fire.
It's the Scott Hartnell.
You're on fire flyer. All right, how many more do you want to do? You want to do two more?
Let's do two more.
Okay. Let me find a good one here for you, bud. Oh, 190-liter rain barrels. $99.99. Lower or higher?
What? That's a tough one. I'm going to say lower.
It's higher, $119.99.
Damn it. Hey, Tony. Tony's the kid's godfather, just showed up at the front door.
Hey, what's cracking, T-Biscuit?
Jonathan says, what's cracking, T-Biscuit?
all right,
on
this
TNT,
is the last
that's
one.
How we do. That's full Canadianity with people walking in. That'd be even
yeah.
if it was a video.
Oh, just a sec, bud. The Joe Hoes are at my door.
Well, it's kind of like rolling. That. Remember the the Gary Shandling show was kind of like that?
Yeah.
He's just like totally off, like if something happened.
But I love that because it creates a world.
Sure.
And it really lets you feel like you're eavesdropping on it. Here's the last one.
We break down the fourth wall all the time on TNT.
Sure we do. A 20-ton log splitter, horizontal and vertical use, with 160cc Honda GC engine. Is it regularly $14.99.99? Lower or higher? 20-ton log splitter.
I didn't know you could get something like that at Canadian Tire. Is that maybe just a more of an East Coast thing? Because it's just hardcore.
I don't know. You have logs in Upper Canada, don't you?
Well, I know, but how big is that thing?
Well, I can tell you. It looks like it's 75 inches.
You could just throw her in the back of the truck?
Well, she's actually on a little trailer that you just hook on with a 2-inch ball and get going.
Wow. So you can go all Fargo in the backyard if need be? I'm going to say higher.
Correct. $19.99. It's on sale this week for $17.99, though.
Nice. Log splitter. So, how big of a log do you think you can get in that?
Well, thing? It must say what the diameter of the log is. You can also do it in 24 equal monthly payments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It doesn't say how big the mouth is onto it.
No. But you, could you get a leg in there?
Oh, sure you could. Oh, sure you could. Canadian Tire Flyer, lower or higher. Fun game, bot.
It's a good game. I love it.
Let's take a break on TNT 69. We'll be right back.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
And we're back.
69, continue.
I don't know if you noticed, but I have this insane, ridiculous head cold that's kind of shrunk down towards my throat. That's why it sounds like I'm not all here.
It's not letting you go very easily. You've had it for over a week now.
Well, it's kind of morphed. It's been a few different things, and that turned into like a head cold flu thing. But I believe this is the end of it.
It's like Morphin' Mindy.
Yeah, Morphine Mindy. So it's been a week since you announced that you've left the Trailer Park Boys.
Don't you mean,
Yeah, it's been. How's the reaction been from everybody?
It's been so nice, man. People, you know. Yeah. People have said, sorry to hear it, gonna miss you, totally get your decision, thanks for 10 years of nice memories. Like, the percentage of, man, what's wrong with you, forget where you came from, or good luck finding another show that is as good as this one, that's been really small. Mostly people have said, like, totally get it, completely understand wanting to turn the page and whatever. But I just think philosophically it's better to leave before you're asked to go, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And make room for new characters on the show. And, you know, season 11 is going to be hilarious and it's going ahead and I'll be watching.
Yeah.
What did people say after you left? Did you have some, hey, man, what's wrong with you? You ruined my life.
not really. No, it was mostly positive. I think that's the thing. If anybody... A, respects you, or B, you know, kind of has followed along and understands the type of person that you are, they'll support the decisions, you know. So, I mean, I've had, and again, I mean, 21 years is a long time. I can't see anybody going like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
After 21 years, you know.
Well, I got a lot of nice messages from people saying they didn't really understand, but then they listened to last week's podcast, and that really helped them kind of wrap their heads around it. So, it's nice that we can offer a platform for that stuff, and hopefully we've found some new buds out of it.
Yeah, there was quite a surge of people flocking to Twitter and definitely to the podcast last week over your departure. So hopefully, there's some fresh buds that are down. A lot of people said they started listening and they're binging. We saw some spikes on the iTunes charts.
That's great. And,
things are great.
It's funny how... a friend of mine was telling me about an article in, I think, The New Yorker sometime in the last year about the end of expertise. There's no such thing as expertise anymore because everyone's an expert.
Yep.
And it was funny seeing some of the comments from people that spoke so strongly with such authority, but it was pure speculation. Like, Jonathan decided to leave because X, Y, and Z. Like, don't pull a muscle jumping to conclusions there, bot.
No, I know. And then you have the trolls that just assume the worst, and they tie it together with all the recent stuff and the press, and they think that's why. And there's all kinds of different trolls out there that just try to stir it up. And it's amazing how many, like you said, there's people that act like they're on set with you every day and have seen everything and know all these things. And some of them... And I got to give props to Corey Bowles because so great on Twitter, how he deals with these people.
Yeah, he shuts people
down. He'll go right head to head with them. And, you know, obviously Lucy and Sarah have been, you see these trolls that say awful things. And he kind of steps up and makes the points and clears everything up all the time. He's kind of like the...
traffic
fixer,
cop,
I'd say.
Well, I guess he went through it once because he left the show after season 7, so he knows the world of hurt potentially that's coming. But fortunately for me, A, I have a thick skin. B, I know that I don't make any decision in my life lightly, and I wouldn't do it or announce it if I wasn't absolutely sure. And it is funny, though, that people make announcements or write comments like, yeah, man, right decision, character's been stale for 3 years. Like, why why would you use this opportunity or this platform to say that? I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah.
But it's just such a weird thing to type. And people that go to the trouble of creating a fake account just to say mean things to people. I don't know if you saw the female sports journalists thing. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
So yes. Powerful and so such an effective way of suggesting. If you haven't seen it, real guys read real tweets that were sent to female sports reporters, and they're violent and shocking and upsetting. And it just underlines the point that things that you might type are things that you would never say to someone's face. And in that way, social media is poison.
Yeah, well, and it just proves there's a solid percentage of people that are out there that are just absolute filth.
Yeah.
And they are total scum. And all they do is clearly they hate themselves because they wouldn't go after everybody else with that much, you know,
gusto,
poison, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. But I found that very effective. And, yep. Man, you can't – I purposely opted out of doing – any other press. I got, you know, a number of requests for interviews and things like that to talk about it. But I thought, really, my statement kind of says it all. Really, I elaborated on my feeling on our podcast. And I didn't feel the need to do the rounds just saying the same thing. Because especially as a comedic performer, I think sometimes you try to come up with new and unique and fun ways to say the same old thing. I mean, that's what my job in Trailer Park Boys was. And I don't need to, just to keep myself amused, try to come up with new ways to say the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Good stuff. So let's play another game, or let's have another experience as we do.
Do you want to play some
with our friends?
90s Gordon Lightfoot?
Only if I can be Bernie a little bit.
Sure. Can you hear me if I do this?
Yeah. People are really connecting with these two in Bernie's office.
Me too.
Like the wooden old 70s wooden walls, records on the walls, the window to outside because it's in like one of the, you know, say the left side of Bernie's house, and Gord just props up the window like the kid in Silver Spoons and hops in with his guitar or keyboard, depending on the day,
and
to
hang
out with Bern.
I think it's the oldest dynamic in comedy. Like, it's the Odd Couple. But the weird thing for Bernie is that the walls of his office were probably paid for in large part by Gord. And it's not to diminish what Bernie has rightfully earned, because Lord knows he's put out some fires over the years.
Yeah,
but
because Gord's been popular
since
the mid-60s. That's the thing, right? He's had success for such a long time.
Yep.
It would be no different than, say, like Neil Young bugging Elliot Roberts.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So this is not Gord 90s. This is just Gord continues to pitch songs for his cover record that Bernie wants no part of.
Love it.
Hey, Bernie. What's new?
Come on, Gord.
Bernie, it's a nice spring day. I've been working on my cover record. Do you remember Gord, this song, Bernie? See if you can name the artist for this one.
I'm putting together Bruce's tour right now. I don't really have time for this.
Bruce who?
Okay, go ahead.
Do you remember this song?
Are you saying Bernie?
Yeah. Because I think Gord thinks it might appeal to Bernie's vanity. If he inserts the word Bernie into the songs, maybe Bernie will take it more.
Definitely. For sure. And this, the fresh pan and the Nanaimo bars. Always.
Who was the band? Do you remember?
The Bop by Hanson.
Yeah, Hanson. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Yep.
If you let me know, you'll take take away the very heart of me. Baby, please don't go.
That's not a 90s jam.
I know.
That's great. Woo-hoo, place, don't
go. Gord would probably drop down an octave. Woo-hoo, Bernie, please don't go.
And if you hear me, isn't that like... Take away the biggest part of me. Isn't that like America or Seals and Crofts or something? What
it's
is that?
Chicago.
Chicago, that's what it is.
It's Chicago.
He's a cold-hearted snake. Look into his eyes. Hey, buddy. He's been telling lies. He's a lover boy who plays. He can't play by rules. Oh, don't let him be your fools.
That's Paula Abdul.
That one needs a capo. That's better.
Unbelievable.
He's a cold-hearted snake. Look into his eyes. Hey, Bernie, he's been telling lies.
Have you been telling lies? That's what he says when he feels like the deal isn't proper. Hey, I got you 30 grand at the Ryman. And he's thinking, he's like, well, are you going to pocket 15 of that or what?
He finds out Bernie's been skimming and he comes in to play. So then nice pay cut you took at the Ryman.
He's a cold-hearted snake. Look into his eyes. Oh, Bernie, you've been telling lies. You're a lover boy in play.
How much stuff has Bernie had to hide?
He just rips, you know, when he goes into that song first, and he's staring at him, Bernie's like, what? What's the deal? And he's like, look into my eyes, Bernie.
Oh, really? The Ryman? Not ringing a bell? Oh, really?
You don't
the
think
Ryman?
I know these promoters, too?
No, we had a gentleman's agreement.
Oh man, talks about the handshake deal and how fast it is to unhandshake the deal.
Cause we last so long,
and we
can't go back, Bernie. I'm sorry, I can't be perfect. There's too much slapback.
That's when he like takes too much of a cut. Someone gave him a paper bag of like 80 grand, right?
There's too much slapback in the Seinfeld, Bernie. Like, Gord has a permanent setup in Bernie's office, like with a wedge and side fill and everything, because he plays in there so much.
Yeah.
Here's the love song for Bernie and Gord. You ready?
Yep. Oh, my God. You gotta do it.
You were gonna play this car. I wanted to get to anywhere, and maybe we can make a deal. Bernie, together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from there, I got nothing to lose, and maybe we'll make something. Me and myself, I got nothing to prove.
I love how he's singing it all full voice.
I remember we were driving in your car, spinning so fast, I felt like I was drunk. And I'm on the floor, arm felt nice right around your shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belong. I had a feeling I could be someone.
That's the ballad of Bernie and Gord.
It is, for sure. Both of them in the
See,
video driving Bernie's
problem.
Driving.
He lives with the bottles the way it is. Says his body's too old for weekend. His body's too young to look like his. Mama went out in the town, wanted more than he could give, and I gotta take care of him. I quit school, is what I did.
What's the lyric when it's like, keep on driving? What's that right. one? What's the one? Is it like...
So I remember we were driving in your car. Space was possible like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, burning. I had a feeling that I belong.
Oh, that's man, the that ballad is... of Bernie and Gord right there.
That's unbelievable. That's
when
the best.
And how can we have Bernie on the pod as a guest?
Probably
wouldn't you love to hear from him?
I've spoken to him on the phone about stuff.
When?
When I was putting together with Nancy Malik, we were doing the food stock and the soup stock stuff. I talked to him about Gord.
What?
Because we were going to try and get Massey Hall the week of... Because he only plays Massey Hall in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I asked Bernie.
Hey, Bernie, can I talk to you?
And what did he
say?
Oh,
no, I'm confused. I'm confusing this. That was for Bruce Colburn. Because Bernie doesn't manage Gord anymore.
He doesn't?
No.
You know, he might dish.
Oh, you think?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't come on here and dish.
No, he wouldn't.
But I'd love to get some intel, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
By all accounts, Bernie is like the loveliest dude.
What? Yeah, he is. What's the period that he did manage him? Like the early days to 70s or something?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
I'd have to go to the Google, but it was something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe it ended with the divorce.
Oh, maybe.
Eh?
Eh?
Eh.
Who else does he have, or did he have, aside from Gord and Byrne and Bruce?
I think he only, like, he's semi-retired and takes care of Bruce. That's about it.
But, I mean, that is a good legacy.
For sure.
Gord and Bruce.
Yeah.
Love
Unbelievable.
It.
So
Bernie good. And Gord is a CBC sitcom waiting to happen. It's Perfect Strangers, and Gord is Balky. That's the show.
It is. It's so good.
Good chatting, bud.
Yeah, we whistled through this one this week.
We sure did. 69's in the can.
So much.
And thanks to all the buds for listening, because it seems like coming out every Friday has helped a lot with our consistency and bud's listenership as well. So
and
we are committed
again
to doing that.
Got to thank Tim Oxford for rocking it. He's been all over the place, and he's still getting her out
T-Unit.
On Fridays.
And I'm going to another job in the United States of America. So, God willing, next week when we tape the... Didn't ever hear from Heather Maudlin, by the way, of Heather Maudlin's Fruit Plate fame.
Oh, well.
But next week I'll be recording from a hotel at an undisclosed location. So, hopefully, there'll be more hotel hijinks awaiting us.
Love it. Thanks, Jonathan.
Great chatting with you, bud.
Hey, bud.
Hello, little bud. Doom gong gang gong ding gong, ju bong bao, doo dang doom bang bang, ding a doom.